tune in and turn on to the Easy Tempo. It's gentle on my mind, an easy listening experience.
It's known that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch.
I'm the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. You're tuned to a brand new show for 2020. Gentle on my mind, an easy listening experience with less talk and more mellow music.
Thank you. Thank you.
harpsichord rhythm group with the New Elizabethans. Before that, we heard Glowhaven from a relatively obscure and mysterious album called Travel Agency, released on Riddle Records. We heard Sail Flying. And the set started off with Milan Pilar in a tune called May from 1982. Well, this is DJ Frederick, or the mighty mellow DJ Fred. Set your mind at ease, you've found an easy listening experience.
This is Bird Note. It's small consolation to those of us shoveling the stuff, but snow is a great insulator. Light, fluffy snow can be up to 90% trapped air. Just the thing to keep bears and ground squirrels and other hibernating mammals warm. And birds, too. Ptarmigan, those small Arctic grouse that molt into a white plumage each autumn, spend their long winter nights in cozy caves they excavate in snow. At dusk, they dig an entrance, then bulldoze their way beneath the surface to hollow out a well-insulated sleeping chamber. In truly harsh weather, they'll hunker down in their caves through the short Arctic day, too. Common redpolls move south to escape the Arctic winter. But even then, their wintering grounds in southern Canada and the northern U.S. can be snowy. These tiny, goldfinch-like birds with the bright red cap break through the snow with their heads, then burrow horizontally for up to a foot and a half. Come morning, when the sunshine warms the air, they pop out of the roosting cave, leaving the smooth blanket of snow pocked with redpole-sized craters. Something to look for next time you're out in your down parka with a thermos of hot chocolate. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support for Bird Note comes from American Bird Conservancy and Bringing Back the Birds, a photo book by Owen Deutsch on the importance of protecting birdscapes. Available at Amazon.com.
Beneath its snowy mantle, cold and clean, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings a song he always sings and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young then too. Anything that it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. But now I feel such emptiness within, for the thing that I want most in life's the thing that I can't win. Spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you where it came from on that day. But what I love forever is untrue, and if I could, you know that I would fly away with you. The breeze along the river seems to say that he'll only break my heart again should I decide to stay. So little snowbird, take me with you when you go to that land of gentle breezes where the peaceful waters flow. Spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you where it came from on that day. What I love forever is untrue, and if I could, you know that I would fly away with you.
check around to the sad, sad truth of dirty law down. Come back around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty law down. Got you thinking like that, boy.
I wonder what the wonder.
Boz Skaggs with Lowdown. I'm the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred, and a new show, Gentle on My Mind. Crate digging the easy sound for the now generation.
Here's a program from our archives.
To some Native American tribes, the buffalo or bison was said to be a predictor of the weather. If its coat was thick, then a harsh winter was at hand. Well, let's hear how bison are faring this winter at Yellowstone National Park. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet. Winters are long and harsh in Yellowstone, and hot springs, like the ones we're listening to now, provide whatever scarce warmth there is to be found in the park. According to wildlife biologist John Mack, many of the 3,000 bison that spend the winter in Yellowstone cling to these steamy thermal areas. But the bison still need to forage away from the hot springs, and so they'll spend the winter searching through the snow for whatever sedges and grasses they can find. Luckily, the bison are well adapted for the winter. Unlike deer and elk, bison can manage in very deep snow. They swing their massive heads back and forth, sweeping through the snow to reach the grasses underneath. But physical hardiness isn't always enough for the bison. Their success in the winter is dependent upon the environmental conditions throughout the year. During the summer months, the bison are eating and fattening up in the higher elevations of the park. And when winter arrives, if the temperature is very low, or layers of ice cover the undergrowth, the bison may have to rely on their fat reserves to survive. And yet the bison has survived massive hunting by man, the narrowing of their range to a fraction of its original size, and thousands of winters past. They are, according to black elk, the chief of all animals, representing the earth and the totality of everything that is. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet.
Welcome back to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. I'm the Mighty Mellow, DJ Fred, and it's time for the Mancini Moment.
Thank you.
Mr. Mundell Lowe on guitar with It's So Peaceful in the Country. And before that, of course, Henry Mancini with Moon River.
Exploring Science in the Sea. With a top speed of a few hundred feet per hour, the giant tortoise won't win many races. Compared to some of the longest waves in the oceans, though, it's like an Indy race car. The waves are almost entirely below the surface, and they can take a decade or longer to ripple from one side of an ocean to the other. Until recently, that made them almost impossible to see. Rossby waves are set in motion by strong winds or storms or other disturbances. They then undulate westward, concentrated at a region known as the thermocline, the boundary between the ocean's warm upper layers and its colder, deeper layers. A single wave can be hundreds of miles long. At the thermocline, the difference between a wave's high and low points can be up to a few hundred feet. At the surface, though, the difference is no more than a few inches. That's almost imperceptible. In fact, the waves were first measured by satellites, which can track tiny variations in the ocean's height. The waves are extremely slow, though. At the equator, it can take a single wave a year to cross the Pacific Ocean. And at higher latitudes, it can take a decade or longer. Rossby waves can make a warm ocean current stronger or even change its course. That has an impact on climate and weather. And a recent study found that Rossby waves might increase nuisance flooding, minor coastal flooding that's not caused by storms. And as global sea level rises, the waves may generate even more flooding, all while moving slower than a tortoise. For the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas, I'm Holly Brawley.
Thank you.
From his 1981 LP released on Atlantic Records, that was Herbie Mann and a cover of Stevie Wonder's Another Star. Well, this is the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. You're tuned to a brand new show called Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. I'm also the host of Radio Thrift Shop, which has been broadcast on WSCS in one form or another since 1999. And all of my broadcasts are archived on radioforall.net. That's radio, the number four, all.net. So this is a little bit of an experiment. Welcome aboard, and thanks for listening. It's time for a segment called the Betamax Spin. We're going to hear some soundtrack music from Midnight Cowboy. Here's John Barry.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping, staring. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze. Skipping over the ocean like a storm. Everybody's talking at me. Can't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't.
one bright night. I'm gonna fly right out.
I'm gonna fly right out
my window. Gonna fly so high in the night sky that the people below won't see me go by. Gonna fly all around and smile down at the sleeping countryside. Fly all around, never come down till Solomon takes another ride.
Set I call the Betamax bin, three tunes from Midnight Cowboy. We heard A Famous Myth, and before that, Everyone's Talking with Nielsen, and we started off with John Barry's theme from Midnight Cowboy. I'm the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred, and I'll be back right after this.
The future of large-scale agriculture may depend upon the use of very small-scale nanoparticles. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
One of the benefits of nanotechnology is that we can engineer the surfaces of these very, very small particles that allows them to attach more strongly to a leaf or to move through the cuticle to the inside of the plant.
Greg Lowry is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Carnegie Mellon University.
We can coat the surfaces of these nanomaterials with special biomolecules that can then attach those particles to specific locations on the plant. So a stomata is the opening in the plant leaf where the plant breathes, essentially. The gases move in and out of the plant. And also microorganisms, pathogens, enter the plant through those same holes. We can manipulate a nanomaterial so that it attaches to that stomata and is precisely in the location to protect the plant against that pathogen. And we can use a lot less of the material and be more efficient with our material in that way. Most of our research has shown that these engineered nanomaterials can be applied in higher concentrations and have lower impacts on plants than their chemical counterparts. Many of the nanomaterials we're using, for example, copper-based nanomaterials, are in fact certified organic materials and can be used on organic crops. And we're trying to replace chemical pesticides that do have known toxicity with these nanomaterials that have much lower toxicity associated with them.
Pulse of the Planet is made possible in part by the Center for Earth and Environmental Nanotechnology and the National Science Foundation. I'm Jim Metzner.
And I'm the mighty mellow DJ Fred. You've been listening to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. So until next time, remember, be gentle with yourself, be gentle of spirit, and be gentle on your mind. Wishing you many blessings.